Just Goal With It is a podcast hosted by two millennials who swear. And also, it's about horror films, so listener discretion is advised. We will put specific content warnings in the show notes.
Boo!
A deep breath.
Turtle.
Did you say turtle?
Yep.
Okay, guys, today we're talking about Entourage.
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
I've never seen Entourage.
On this episode, we're actually going to talk about Entourage, but none of us have seen it.
No.
And so it's going to be what our best guess of Entourage is.
Yeah.
My guess? Businessmen.
Oh. I was thinking people that drive cars and are trust fund babies.
Okay, trust fund babies, but I think they own businesses.
Okay.
I think they do little typing, little type.
And
they're an entourage of business boys.
Oh. What if they have matching vests?
I bet they do.
Yeah.
I bet they go out for little drinkies and they drink martinis and they're like, business.
Uh-huh.
And they bet they all have briefcases.
Uh-huh. And wingtip shoes.
Oh. I hate them. I was going to say, speaking of I hate them, but honestly, everyone in this movie is a terrifying delight.
Yeah.
In a good, horrible, horrible way.
Never a more accurate thing to say than a
terrifying delight.
Oh my God, amazing.
So speaking of a terrifying delight, and we're finally ready. Woo! We're here talking about Suspiria, 1977.
Yes.
The one Kate wanted to do for her very first episode, and I said, you're not ready.
I'm so glad you said that.
It's so funny, because now I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh, I think it's fine. And I went, yeah, but go back. Go back, and you've never done this before.
Uh-uh.
And you go, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
It was so funny. I was like,
as I was watching it, I was so fucking grateful.
It was like a selfish thing, too, because I was like, I can't. Like, I was like, there's no that I'm gonna have something to say about this yet. So we didn't, and now it's time. Do they know what's happening? Can we tell them or no?
We can tell them.
I'm acting like they're here and I'm like, should tell them? So we're doing Suspiria 1977.
Mm-hmm.
And then this weekend, because we're filming?
This?
Recording this. I'm filming.
Points over my shoulder.
Next weekend, we're recording our other episode for this month, and it's Suspiria, the 2018 remake, and we're recording it at a haunted hotel.
Woo! Like we did for the 50th.
Yeah, I'm really excited. This hotel looks, hey, dare I say it, just a little more haunted than the other one.
It does look a wee bit more haunted.
Mostly because of the white men that the hotel rooms are named after gives it a sinister vibe.
Yeah, it does feel like walking into like the Theodore Roosevelt room. I'm like, I'm haunted. Yeah, I'm haunted.
Aren't we in the Martin Van Buren thing or something?
Let me check.
Not to dox us, but like, come find me at the Martin Van Buren suite, I guess. I won't tell you the hotel.
I am checking.
I feel like it was a name that I was like, huh. I thought it was really funny.
Rutherford
B. Hayes. It's even funnier. Because that's what?
I'm like, what the fuck?
So yeah, we'll be in the Rutherford B. Hayes suite.
Hopefully.
Do you think the ghosts will behaze themselves?
Do you think we'll be hazed?
I have to do the... What is an air horn sound?
Thank you!
I was like, I don't remember what an air horn sounds. I had like some sort of stroke just now.
You get like a B-level air horn from me. I do everything slightly wrong.
I just panicked and was like,
air horn noises!
I was like, a French horn? What am I doing?
Put your hand in it.
So that's what we're doing. And
yeah.
I'm really excited about it. Yeah. I'm actually genuinely a little scared.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm getting like spooky vibes from this hotel. I looked at the pictures and I was like,
a little spooky.
Maybe once we have a laptop and we're drinking wine and watching a movie and they're yelling at us for our dress code, then we'll have a good time.
Yeah. I'll just cover my hair as I go in.
I doubt we can wander around this one like we did the other one.
Oh my God, yeah, we went up to the roof.
We were like drunk wandering around this hotel with like our EMF being like, is there a ghost? And then we were like pointing it at the walls.
I had like a fake lantern.
We had a photo shoot on the roof with our nightcap.
I was wearing a floor length.
It was so fucking funny. And we were just wandering around and no one else was there. No one cared.
No one gave a shit.
And then every morning we had breakfast in the gun room.
And it was so good.
It was so good. I am excited to see if this one lives up.
Yeah.
To the gun room.
To the gun room.
Which had more boats than guns, but that's fine.
And honestly, I love that.
I know. I was like, honestly, I feel more safe with the boats. So thank God there's only one gun.
You also got to see a barge.
My God. Yeah. Remember Angie watched the barge.
Yeah, Angie did.
I can't wait to bring her. She's going to like it there, I think.
She's going to love it. Remember when I thought you were like screaming in the morning, but it was the radiator?
I forgot about that. Our radiator like made some weird noise and Kate thought I was just going, ah! Like next to her.
I accepted it.
You were just like, you didn't say anything. I was like, you thought I was screaming and you didn't say a word. Just you were like, well.
I don't know what you do.
Scream, apparently.
Scream yodel.
Oh my God, that was so fucking funny. No, I chew in my sleep though. That's how you know I'm falling asleep. I go, and I like,
I talk in my sleep.
I do talk as well, but I don't scream. Oh my God, the wheeze. Oh gosh. Okay. Do you want some facts?
I would love some Suspiria. Facts.
Sorry, we're slap happy.
We bit.
It's kind of later. I've been so sick again. I went to go get my notes, and I went to our text messages as if you had like sent them to me.
You just start reading out the.
I'll be there at 6. Okay, it's having dinner before. Like that's weird. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This movie, made in 1977.
Yes.
It was directed by Dario Argento. Mm-hmm. He co-wrote the screenplay with Dario Nicolodi.
Dario?
Huh?
Nothing.
What did you say? Nicolodian? Is that what you
said? Two X Dario, but I think it was Daria.
It's Daria.
Yeah.
It's Dario and Daria.
Duh.
This was kind of a fun fact. She got credit for, like, I think just this one, but she said that, like, this movie couldn't be made without the ideas that I gave, like, Dario, blah, blah, and I think one of his other movies. But she's not actually, like, credited, really.
Which is some bullshit.
Yeah, it's some bullshit, but she was in a bunch of his movies. Oh. So she appeared in Deep Red, Inferno, Phenomena, and Opera.
Hmm.
So kind of weird. You know, I was like, shady.
Hmm.
But yeah, she was like, that movie could not have been made without me. And I was like, I believe you. The movie was based on Suspiria de Profundis, a series of essays in the form of prose poems that examined the memory as influenced by hallucinogenic drugs. Could not get that out. But it was written in 1845.
Huh.
And I was like, what? How did they find? Probably not in a fun way. I was like, how did they find hallucinogenic drugs in 1945? And I went, 1845. Just on accident? Like, oops.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, the village crier's like, I found upon yonder hills.
Listen, if you nibble on this mushroom, you're going to have a good time or a bad time.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. But either way, I thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't need to know more. That's fine.
No, that's all I need to know.
No, no more. Cinematography was Luciano Tavoli, which I briefly was like, is that the same name as Daria? But no, it was just a lot of O's in both their names. Yeah. Not even a little bit similar. Just a lot of O's.
Just a lot of O's. And that can be confusing.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. People can always spell my name wrong. I got a lot of O's.
Nicololo.
Have you ever seen the TikTok of the girl trying to say garlic and olive oil in Italian?
No.
She goes, well, garlic and olive oil in Italian is olio, olio, olio. Someone else stitches it and goes, no, it's not. And she's like, it can't be. Olio, olio, olio.
Olio, olio, olio.
I'm sorry not to mock you if you're Italian. I heard that and went, what? Olio, olio, olio. It sounded like it was like not even words. And I was like, I guess that's just another language. I don't know. But it was very funny and very impressive. So yeah, a lot of O's. Luciano Tavoli also did The Passenger, Titus, Reversal of Fortune, Single White Female, and Murder by Numbers. And the music was Goblin.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think when they did this one, they specifically went by like Goblin and Daria or something. Like they, it was very funny to me. Point is, it was Goblin. Witch. They worked with Dario a lot. And, like, when they're, for some reason, in the credits in this one and, like, one of his other films, it's, like, Dario featuring Goblin or something like that. Oh. And I was like,
ooh. Is it because he hisses witch? And they do everything else. And he's like, witch.
Is that him just going, witch,
witch, witch? That's my favorite part of the soundtrack.
It's really good because it happens when, like, I don't know, not a lot is happening. Yeah. I'll just be like,
witch.
And they're like, just
looking at trees. Yeah. Witch. She's like hugging the wall, walking down a hallway.
Witch. I'm going to start just saying that all the time. So yeah, Goblin. Yeah. Italian progressive rock band. I also did the Dawn of the Dead, the British version.
Oh.
Tenebrae, I think.
Hmm.
And Sleepless.
Hmm.
Good for Goblin.
Not in Seattle, notably.
Okay. Yeah. I think Sleepless was one of Dario Argento's films made in 2021, and it was the last thing they did together.
Okay.
And it wasn't all the members. I think it was like three.
Oh.
But yeah. And I could not find how much it took to make it. I was like, please show me. I couldn't find it, but I did find two different answers on how much it made.
Okay.
So we'll just see which one you get closest to.
It's unlikely I'll hit either.
You could do this.
The '70s. I don't know anything about inflation.
Right.
But he was known for giallo,
mm-hmm.
which we'll get into because I definitely was gonna say it wrong based on the spelling.
I was like, what did you just say?
It looks like giallo. We'll get to it.
Giallo.
2 million.
You got really close to one of them.
Oh.
So I looked on IMDb. It's a gross worldwide. It only made 43,259. I think that, and I'm thinking that's probably before inflation. Like, I'm thinking that's not, I don't know though.
Yeah.
But Wikipedia says 1.8 million, but that's including like rentals.
Oh, okay. So like years since.
Yeah. So like.
Interesting.
I couldn't get like a straight answer and I said, just give me something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I had. So.
Okay.
And I didn't have a ton of fun facts, but I had just a little bit, just a little touch. Mm-hmm. So it's noteworthy because of its stylistic flourishes, as they're called. I don't know if you noticed, but boy, is it a colorful film.
And I have a lot of information on that.
Oh, good. Then I don't need to say much, actually. because really, I was just going to talk about how it's Technicolor. Like, it was a Technicolor thing. You're looking like you have stuff to say. So I'm going to just...
Sorry.
Stop it.
I don't want to steal your thunder.
All the actors' dialogue was dubbed, actually, through additional dialogue recording. Common practice in Italian filmmaking. And that's all I had, so.
You can talk about Technicolor.
I don't want to.
I don't want to take it from
you. I had a feeling you might, but I was like, well, just in case she doesn't. And then you gave me the face, the... You switched it up. First it was like sucking in the lip, and then you sucked them out.
If I get to the portion of Nerd Quarter and I haven't talked about what you were going to say, please interrupt
me. I will. Okay. Don't even worry. Don't even worry.
Don't even worry.
Let me sum it up, okay?
Okay.
Because I'm done. I don't want to talk anymore. So a girl goes to a dance school, but it's run by witches.
Mm.
That's it.
That's it.
I don't need to say anything else.
Everything goes really well. They put on Swan Lake. It goes seamlessly.
I didn't. Hey, you're making assumptions, okay? What if that is how it went, though?
It could.
She just, like, went to school, danced, minded her business, graduated, and was like, all right, thank you.
Yeah.
And they were like, see ya.
Top of my class, and the only one that survived.
Probably. Yeah. That's why she was so good. They really could focus on her.
Yep. Individualized attention.
Okay, what do other people say?
Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Susie travels to Germany to attend ballet school. When she arrives late on a stormy night, no one lets her in, and she sees Pat, another student, fleeing from the school. When Pat reaches her apartment, she is murdered. The next day, Susie is admitted to her new school, but has a difficult time settling in. She hears noises and often feels ill. As more people die, Susie uncovers the terrifying secret history of the place. It really felt like they were just kind of laying it all out there.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so they covered everything.
Yeah.
That's, maybe, who did that?
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, let's see if I did Rotten Tomatoes. That wasn't pithy at all.
It wasn't.
That was the opposite of pithy.
Yeah.
Wordy.
Wordy.
What's the opposite of pithy?
Verbose. Ugh. Maybe wordy or verbose.
So verbose.
Okay, this one is way better.
Mm-hmm.
IMDb knows what's up.
Go ahead.
An American newcomer to a prestigious German ballet academy comes to realize that the school is a front for something sinister amid a series of grisly murders.
That's literally exactly what I said, just with more fun words. But that's awesome. I love that.
Perfection.
See?
That's how you keep it short and sweet.
That's how you keep it short and sweet.
Idiots.
Nerd corner.
Lighting?
I just tried to throw out a guess.
I love it. So...
was it good? Am I right?
I mention it. So I want to say Technicolor is only 1/3
furious
to a half of Nerd Corner.
So absolutely fuming. No. I'm going to kick off.
Livid. Any other gas sales?
1970s effects and practical effects.
That'd be fun.
What'd you do?
Okay.
So after it wasn't lighting, I had no fucking clue.
I do mention lighting.
Yeah.
And it connects to the Wizard of Oz.
Yes, that's what I was going to talk about.
Oh, do you want to talk about that then?
No. No, I want you to.
Oh, God damn. I have fucked up in the year of our Lord 2024.
That was my only fact. It's fine. I covered it with the dubbed thing.
The dubbing thing is so fun.
It's really hilarious.
Yeah.
I was like, you told me that? And I went, oh, that's why our theater was so hard to, it was so hard to play it on film.
Yeah.
I'll tell that story. I probably already have.
I'm not familiar with it.
You don't know the story?
No, please tell me.
Okay, everybody, here's my new fun fact. Before we get into Nerd Corner, which is not about lighting. We played it at the theater I worked at, and we had it on, I want to say 70mm, but it could have been 35. I don't know. But we'd already advertised it. It was like, okay, we're going to play this. And everyone's pumped. It's Suspiria. But the movie is dubbed in many different languages. Uh-huh. We happened to get an Italian version. Great. Mm-hmm. You know what films don't have?
Subtitles.
So you know what we had to do? We had to make a PowerPoint that had the subtitles and play it along with the movie. And just on the digital projector was the subtitles. And on the film projector the film. And poor... my boss had to just click, click, click and hope that it was syncing up with like what they were saying. And people were like, the subtitles aren't working. And she was like, I know. She was like, I didn't want to do this. She was so mad. She was like, I didn't want to do this. She was like, I said we should have just told people, hey, it's the original Italian. Like, there's nothing we can do about the subtitles. It's on film. But they were like, no, we have to say there are subtitles. And so she had to make those and just click, 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 click.
Oh, my God. That is exhausting.
For multiple showings. No. Not just one. when that movie left, everybody was like, bye, good riddance. I still love it. I was not working film at that time. So I was, like, chilling. I was like, I'm good. Had I been up there having to do it, maybe this film wouldn't have such a soft spot in my little heart.
That's fair.
Maybe I would kill it. Because she hates it. She's like, don't ever fucking look at that movie ever again. She's like, I hate it.
And that's very valid.
If I had to do that, I probably would be really mad too.
Yeah. But for the folks that don't have a blood grudge against this, it's dubbed in every version. It's just which language it's dubbed in, because the folks on set would speak in their native language. Mm-hmm. And then everything was, almost everything, if not everything, was recorded after the fact and dubbed over. And even if, like, you have the American actress that speaks her lines in English, she's still dubbed over in English.
Which, that was tricking Elmarie, because she was like, I was like, it's dubbed. And she's like, well, only the ones that are, like, not speaking English, right? And I said, no. I was like, also them. She goes, but their mouths are matching. And I'm like, yeah, because they're just saying it again. So I was like, watch this. And then we watched another part where it was an American girl, and it didn't match. And I was like, see? I was like, even their lines are dubbed. And she was like, that's insane. I was like, I know, it's kind of wild.
Yeah, I'm looking, like, this is something that I just kept questioning myself. But apparently, like, Italian films from this region, at least, are often dubbed because of the type of filmmaking. And if you watch how much wind is in this fucking movie.
So much. It's fair. Like, it's fair that they would dub it.
Yeah.
It was just so funny because I just originally thought that the movie was in Italian because of my horror story.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, the movies are just in Italian, blah, blah. So that's why when I was watching it, I was like, oh, there must be a mistake. Like, I need to watch the original. I just, you know, because we had that issue with Wreck. And I was like, I want to make sure I'm watching the real one. And you were like, no. And that's when I learned and went, What?
Yeah, because
I thought that was really cool.
When I was looking at it, I was like, did we just like, did I in pitching this fuck up? Because yeah, I can't access the Italian language version. And so I was like, is there an undubbed version? They're like, well, fun fact, every single version is dubbed.
And that I was like, so funny. Yeah. I was like, what? And then I realized her mouth was matching. Her mouth was matching. And I was like, oh, they're all dubbed.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Ugh. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, thing, yeah. That's not Nerd Corner. That's just a fun little fact.
That's a fun fact.
Yeah.
So this Nerd Corner was really hard to pin down. And I could not narrow my focus to just one thing, so I didn't. There are many aspects of this film, and I feel like I'm just scratching the surface. But in the end, I decided, since the plot itself is less the focus than the artistry, that I'd follow that lead and dig into the stylistic influences of Suspiria. Woo-hoo. Among these topics, we'll talk about Giallo, Snow White, and Technicolor's three-color dye transfer process.
Woo-hoo! Woo! I'm excited.
So first up is the Italian subgenre that I had to Google how to pronounce. It's spelled G-I-A-L-L-O. And I was like, Giallo.
Giallo.
Nope, it's Giallo.
Giallo.
Or like J-A-H-L-O.
Giallo.
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 Yeah. I like gesture
I'm not
like.
Italian, I don't know.
I never learned Italian. I took French for 4 years.
I know.
Like,
I'm like, I don't know it.
I listened to people say it and I read how to say it, so I'm just rolling with that.
I tried to learn it and I can only say the boy eats sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Because for some reason that was one of the sentences.
I want to hear it.
Tu mangi zucchero.
It's very good.
Thank you. Yeah. And if I'm wrong, no one correct me. Nobody. I'm taking that to my grave.
Now I'm like, do I know how to say that in French? Probably not grammatically correct. Okay. So up until the point that I Googled it, I was saying like giallo. So if I say that, it's because I haven't replaced all of my brain with it yet.
It happens.
But what is giallo? I'm glad you asked.
What is it?
Because before this week, I had no idea. So I'm leaning on our friends at Polygon. So, direct quote. Mm-hmm. The strictest giallo devotees treat the term the way onophiles treat champagne, as a highly specific term that only truly applies to products from a specific region of Europe. Mm-hmm. To some cult cinema fans, giallo is, by definition, Italian. From the 60s to the 80s, and most prominently in the 70s, a handful of Italian filmmakers turned out horror and suspense films that nodded to the work of Alfred Hitchcock, but which were on the whole more lurid, ratcheting up the levels of gore and nudity. Giallo literally means yellow, in reference to the yellow covers common to the sensationalistic Italian pulp novels these movies clearly resemble.
Huh.
If you need to close the window, you're welcome to. I don't think you need to, but if you ever like feel the urge, you're welcome to. So the article goes on to explain that it wasn't exactly a formalized movement, but the film 1960, I can say numbers correctly, but the 1964 film Blood and Black Lace really helped to, quote, establish some of Giallo's visual motifs, including mass killers, scantily clad female victims, ritzy locations, and eye-popping splashes of color.
Ritzy locations.
Ritzy locations.
Love that.
Argento went balls to the walls with this in the 70s. In 1970, he created The Bird with the Crystal Plumage and then, quote, practically perfected the form in 75 with his film Deep Red.
Mm.
Most folks will say that expanding into the supernatural means it's not pure giallo, but it's still entirely fair to say that films such as Suspiria are heavily influenced by it.
Right.
So, it's not just about how giallo influenced Suspiria, but how that and Suspiria impacted the industry globally.
Yeah.
We might just be able to see some of these influences in some of the movies we've covered.
Maybe.
Time for another direct quote.
You said it like you were like, oh no.
I'm just, I leaned real heavy on resources for this because I was like, I don't know shit about Italian film.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to say anything wrong. So, direct quote.
Yeah.
These movies also relied a lot on formulas. Beyond the recurrence of secret societies and costumed knife-wielding murderers, there was a well-established visual grammar to classic giallo, with bright colors playing against inky black shadows, while the camera often took the killer's POV.
Ma'am?
It's like she doesn't know how much I do for her.
I get no respect.
No respect. I need to get a picture of all the scratching that she's done to the corner of my ottoman and said, look how they massacred my boy.
That's our couch. It looks awful. Woo! We're back. We're fine.
Goose. She's like, you're attacking me.
I also like moved the chair, so she's like, ah. Brief intermission while we figured out the mics that were totally fine and
totally
I was overreacting. they look little.
No, I get it.
One of these days, it's going to happen where we have to, like, record an episode again and pretend it's the first time. And I wait for that day, and that's fine. I'm just saying, it's coming, and it's fine.
Remember when we thought we'd have to do that for The Descent?
I was so sad, because that one was really good.
We didn't have to, but I was like, I loved that episode while we were recording it. It felt so, like,
I know,
candid and true.
And then we were like,
but then 6 hours of editing later,
we're fine. It's fine. Everything's good.
And we even, like, recorded a little, like, snippet ahead of time to be like, excuse the snap, crackles, and pops, whatever. Yeah. And everyone's like, didn't even notice anything. I'm like,
okay. Every time we do say that, we're like, oh, it's totally fine. And yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. Sure.
I did want to jump back before I move forward because I realized I kind of talked around giallo, but I didn't give, like, the actual definition of it.
Oh, yeah.
So, Wikipedia, thank you. It's a genre of murder mystery fiction that often contains slasher, thriller, psychological horror, sexploitation, and less frequently supernatural elements.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So I was kind of, like, digging around it and, like, the nuances of it, but I wasn't like, here's what it is. So that's my B.
Kind of gave us a moat.
Yeah. And then I'm like, hold on. We'll go in and we'll talk about it.
It's good.
Then we're going to pop right back. So, in terms of influences giallo and Suspiria had on American cinema, direct quote, these movies also relied on a lot of formulas. Beyond the recurrence of secret societies and costume knife-wielding murderers, there was a well-established visual grammar to classic giallo, with bright colors playing against inky black shadows, while the camera often took the killer's POV. In other words, giallo had plenty of replicable elements ready to be swiped by non-Italian genre filmmakers looking to use their effects on an audience. It's easy to trace a short line between 1970 giallo and the first wave of American slasher movies led by Halloween and Friday the 13th. Those early slashers, Halloween especially, drew inspiration not just from the basic giallo plots, but also from the way they looked and moved with their subtly dynamic camera work and eerily polished surfaces.
Oh,
yeah.
Like with those good shadows too, and like, okay. Yeah.
And fittingly, some had said that Argento is to Italian film as Carpenter is to American film.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So that was a quick dip into giallo.
Love it.
And its influence on Suspiria, and then that influence broadly on American film.
Yeah.
So let's look at a less expected influence.
Yes.
Snow White. Yes, the children's movie from Disney. So there are at least two levels to that, touching on both plot and visual motifs. We'll do plot first. Mm-hmm. Snow White features an innocent girl being preyed upon by an evil witch. Yep. Susie is preyed upon by a coven of witches. Susie's story contains much more self-determination than Snow White's, but the core conflict and tension is shared.
Mm-hmm.
We start with an innocent, naive, beautiful, pale girl.
Right.
She goes through some shit with a witch or several. She survives. Past the most basic level, we also have narrative techniques reminiscent of fairy tale storytelling. Mm-hmm. So the introduction narration, quote, Susie Banyan decided to perfect her ballet studies in the most famous school of dance in Europe. She chose the celebrated Academy of Freiburg. One day at 9 in the morning, she left Kennedy Airport of New York and arrived in Germany at 10:40 p.m. local time. That's what it says at the very top of the film. And it's so close to Once Upon a Time, where it's like, one day at 9 in the morning, she left Kennedy Airport of New York. It's so close to Once Upon a Time, we could, like, plop into that narration without even blinking. So, like, name the heroine. Quick snippet of where she is and why. Go. We're all familiar with this setup, and it immediately invokes the nostalgia for fairy tales. And maybe it isn't even nostalgia. Maybe you don't give a shit about Disney princesses. But there's a sense of recognition.
Yes.
It's familiar, whether we like it or not. And that brings along its own set of associations, expectations, etc.
Yeah.
And this tale is more grim than Disney, but we'll get to that when we talk about
Hobbit.
Maybe
a little.
Yeah. And then this makes even more sense, the fairy tale nature of it, when you learn that this was originally written with much younger protagonists in mind.
Oh, no.
The plan was to have the ballet dancers be preteens.
Oh!
According to an interview I watched, the oldest would be 12 or 13.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The distributor
was... fuck.
Yeah. The distributor was like, sir, no.
So, and him going, why?
Why?
What?
He, like, in this interview, he's speaking Italian, so there are subtitles.
Right.
And he was like, they were fine with the gore, they were fine with this, but they said no to the children.
Everyone in the room's like,
yeah. They said no to the children.
That guy's a freak, dare I say.
So he bumped their ages up to, like, 20-ish, but did not change the script. So the script was originally... written for children. Yeah. And so, like, we'll get to it in a moment, but, like, there's really childish dialogue at different points. He also constructed the set in such a way as to make them appear smaller in comparison. So he couldn't have younger actors, but he could make them seem childlike.
They won't be children, but they'll be little.
I got them.
Joke's on us.
Distributor thinks you can fuck with me. You could.
Yeah, sorry. Had a phlegm moment.
So this is a translation mm-hmm. of one of his interviews.
Yeah.
So direct quotes translated. I got them to play as if they were children. If you watch the movie with care, you begin to discover that there are childish dialogues. Dialogues used among children. Dialogues that take place when you're at school, 10, 12, 13 years. To give even more the idea that this school is for children, there's one scene where the lead character follows a path with shared footsteps. She follows this path within the school. The doors have high handles. They're not up to the normal adult height, but they're higher, for the height of children. Since they are small, children always see handles very high. That's why I put the handles at this height, to give an unconscious feeling to subconsciously convey a message.
Interesting.
And I was rewatching a scene because I was trying to find my scariest moment. Yeah. And in my notes, I just put, ah, scary. And I was like, I don't know what that was. And so I went back to watch it. And as she's like reeling through, you yeah. do see the doorknobs are like way higher than they should be.
Interesting.
He also made sure all of the instructors were visibly older to highlight the difference in age between student dancers were, yeah. and those in power. So instead of having like, oh, she's 30, so she's right. ancient and can't do ballet anymore, but she still teaches. He was like, they're 60.
Oh, they're old.
They're old. So we have the introduction reminiscent of fairy tales, a yeah. young innocent girl, an only evil witch. How else did he see it modeled off of Snow White? The color.
The colors.
He actually had the cinematographer watch Snow White to uh-huh. understand what he was going for. And they even sought out tech that would allow them to recreate the color effects that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to talk about Technicolor's 3-dye color transfer process.
Yes.
It was
so excited.
It was really cool to learn about. I can't do it like full justice, but I'm going to try.
So glad that we're talking about this.
So while the dye transfer process, also called imbibition, mm-hmm. was lauded as the best and most enduring, it was time and space consuming yeah. and also expensive.
Oh, yeah.
It was used in the U.S. until 75, Britain until 78, and Italy until 80, mm-hmm. 1880.
Yeah.
Suspiria was one of the last films to use this technology and actually was created using the last Technicolor machine in
sure
Rome.
Sure was.
Dope as hell. So it's obviously a complex process. Yeah. And literally and figuratively has a lot of moving parts, but the quick and dirty we'll learn from our friends at Britannica.
Tell me.
Yeah, direct quote. The Technicolor process, perfected in 1932, originally used a beam splitting optical cube in combination with the camera lens to expose 3 black and white films. The light beam was split into 3 different parts as it entered the camera, one beam favoring the red portion of the spectrum, one favoring the green, and one the blue. Each image was captured simultaneously on a separate band of black and white film.
Mm-hmm.
The 3 strips were developed separately and printed, after which the prints were bypassed through their appropriate color dyes. When laminated together, they produced a reasonably faithful approximation of natural color.
Yeah, incredible.
And I, like, reading further into it, they're like, okay, so the thickness of the thing on the, like, medium mm-hmm. of gelatin, and, yeah. like, it's, you know.
Like, it would have to be insane.
Yeah.
To that's insane.
Yeah. And I don't remember if I put this.
God, how would they? So they develop them and then they would have to transfer them onto one film reel?
Yeah. So there are several different. I realized that I added my extra notes about the process to a different document. So I'm like going back. So. The original version had 3 reels. It's yeah. a 3-strip setup.
Right.
And you had to rent the cameras from Technicolor.
Okay.
You, like, it was expensive. They right. were huge as shit.
Yes, it has a fucking giant fucking cube in there to be like, all the colors, yeah. please.
And it had to have 3 different strips in there for one thing. And you would develop them and then lay them over each other. And so, like, lining them up perfectly was also critically important.
Not only that, but the thickness of them had to be pretty thin because... Yeah. In order for film to go through the machine, it has to be a certain thickness.
I can show you a video of it. Like, I watched a lot of videos going through the process and, like, what
so
it looks like.
They laid them on top of each other. They had to be so fucking, like, breakable.
Yeah.
And also, film is really flammable. So, like, oh, my God. This is, like, stressing me. It was so yeah. thin. And then they were filming, like, onto that with the...
Yeah.
How many movies do you think got ruined trying to do this? So fucking many.
Oh, goddamn.
I'm stressed just thinking about
but
trying to do it.
The color was, like, unparalleled.
Oh, yeah.
And longevity, like...
It's incredible.
Sorry, it's so weird to see, like, I put my notes in the wrong place. And so I'm like, oh, I actually wrote about this, but I'm just going to try to summarize it. But they were super bulky.
Yeah.
It was time intensive. It required a lot of space, like, mm-hmm. laying out the film so that you could superimpose them over each other. And then it also required so much lighting on set. They had specific, like, people that would go out from the studio, and they prefer the term, like, lighting directors yeah. or something similar, like Technicolor yeah. director. But directors are like, I'm the only director. So they were like, you can be, like, a consultant or whatever.
Like, whatever.
But they would make sure that the lighting was high enough on set yeah, so that you could get all of those colors layered in there. And there was a key image. So let me find...
My brain is, like... exploding trying to picture having room to do this.
I can show you a video and it shows like one of the machines.
Are they on platters?
I'll just show you. I don't know. You're using terms that I'm
sorry.
Like, I'm just like, I don't know.
My head is reeling. I'm like, how would they reeling? Do it? There we go. Now the waveform is pretty big.
I'll grab. So to keep the images crisp, because yeah. you're laying three different yeah. reels over each other, there was often a soft black and white layer called a key image underneath uh-huh. it all. It gave more definition to the edges of images, but okay. this was later phased out.
Oh.
And I'll get into... No, I got into it earlier. Previous me thought sorry, that it made sense
to... incredible.
So Technicolor had that dye imbibition process
yeah.
that used three strip right. cameras, but the cameras themselves and the process of using three things, it was just so time intensive, so labor intensive,
yeah.
and so like bulky and expensive that it just was not tenable. And so they were able to use a variation of that process on Eastman's single strip negatives.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think it was like a double-sided situation, mm-hmm. like one was red, one was blue, mm-hmm. and so they were able to use like a process that would mm-hmm. still capture those vibrant, vivid colors.
But it just wasn't quite as...
But it was on one reel.
Right.
One strip yeah. instead of three strips superimposed.
Makes sense, yeah.
So that's why, like, it was phased out mm-hmm. in the 70s.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. And they came back in, from, like, 95 to, like, 2002. They did restorations. So, like, Wizard of Oz, I think, Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind,
like,
yeah.
a few others they did restorations of with the technology. Mm-hmm. But even if the machines exist, it would be, like, prohibitively expensive to, like, get them running because it's just – it's considered obsolete technology.
We could build it again.
Yeah. And
I want them back.
One of the really cool things about it, like in terms of longevity, was that their process, whatever mm-hmm. they used, actually means that like the film is as vivid today as it was when it was printed. Wow. Whereas things like the Eastman, like way that they yes, developed their right. film, it fades magenta over time.
Yeah.
And so you have like those really pink reels.
Yep.
And so that's why it was like, this is... the like peak of craft, like museum level prints. And
that's
it's fucking wild.
I'm still like, how did they have room?
We'll watch the videos after this.
Okay.
Because it was really cool watching.
Because I'm like, I can't.
I get it. Like with my limited knowledge, I understand that this is like mind boggling.
Okay.
So key images.
Yeah.
Direct quote. During the early years of the process, the receiver film was pre-printed with a 50% black and white image derived from the green strip, mm-hmm. the so-called key or K record. This procedure was used largely to cover up fine edges in the picture the colors would mix unrealistically, also known as fringing. This additional black increased the contrast of the final print and concealed any fringing. However, overall colorfulness was compromised as a result. Mm-hmm. In 1944, Technicolor had improved the process to make up for these shortcomings, and the K record was eliminated. So that's why that, like, black and white layer was phased
out. Right, okay.
And so there's a part, like, when I was reading about the creation of this, so obviously you just, like, the Technicolor mm-hmm. process, like, yeah. that dye transfer process. But they also were like, we know enough about this to know exactly what we want from it. So this is a really fun direct quote from the cinematographer. To intensify the contrast of the colors, we took out a filter used to soften the borders mm-hmm. so that every color would remain absolutely pure. We didn't worry about having the perfect borders, as it made it even more unrealistic. Oh, so they were yeah. like, we get that you put in this border thing mm-hmm. so that it would make it crisp, but we yeah. don't want that. We yeah. want fuzzy edges. We want weirdness. We want it to be as unrealistic as possible.
It was like a diffusion or color. Something. Yeah.
Yeah. They were like, we want as much pure color as possible.
Right.
And boy, did you get that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not
it's gorgeous.
Like as I talked about, like that K like the key or the K record like was phased out. So yeah. I don't know if we're really talking about the same thing, but.
But I like to that look at least. Yeah. They were like, we're not going for that look. Okay.
Yeah. So suffice to say, they knew what they wanted and how to achieve it.
And they did, though.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
And the end result of this all is we have childlike behavior from grown-ass women.
Yeah.
Oversized sets. Yeah. Vibrant color with imperfect borders. Cameras almost always in motion. This was this, like, dreamlike quality that when paired with the soundtrack by prog rock
Goblin.
created a sense of unreality.
Yeah.
So we have the influence from and nod to fairy tale stories, the foundation of thriller and suspense mm-hmm. and wildly vivid colors, all combining to remove the viewer from reality and pull us into a strange, gory story. And that's
amazing. That was so good.
Thank you.
Now, hold on. I'm not done. Okay.
Okay.
So when you wrap film, yeah. they have, I have to walk away from my mic and it's not going to pick me up, but I'm okay. going to show you the size
yeah.
of like what they have to sit on.
Okay.
Picture like my arm span.
Yeah.
But like a little bigger. Platters that spin around and like wrap your film as you go. So picture three of those. And that's like
how many you would have to use for everyone that didn't hear me. Giant fucking platters to like wrap the film. So now
come see this.
Okay, I'm gonna watch the video.
Yeah, so it goes on and it talks about, like, the K layers.
I guess it makes sense that they use, oh, God, what are they called? The, not pin belts, but
the reels that go around the theater.
Yeah.
So we have those at the theater I worked at. That was just a thing for all film before. Mm-hmm. So I guess I should have known that that's what they were using and not giant platters.
But no, they were, like, it was, like, 240 feet long or some shit. Yeah. And so, like, it went through ceilings and through uh-huh. walls. It's, like, it had to just be
yeah, ours fucking used- wild. Ours used to run through all the whole ceiling of the tech booth, and because it would be reel to reel,
yeah.
So you'd have to like, you know, reel it up, and it was insane. You'd have film running all through the whole building, like especially if they were big and long. But then you got platters, which I'm assuming is what we use to like replace that, which are those giant discs yeah. I like told you about.
Yeah.
And I thought they were doing it on those, and those are sometimes a nightmare because if they wrap too fast and your film isn't perfectly wrapping, you'll get a brain wrap,
oh.
and it'll wrap up. And it'll just tear. And you have to, like, splice it together.
Yeah.
And it's a pain in the ass. And the things that they use to, like, splice some things together, they don't even make anymore.
Yeah.
So I got panicky and was like, how? How'd they do it? But I guess that makes more sense. It's still freaky and weird.
Yeah.
But it makes more sense than what I was picturing. So I was like, how?
Oh, but it was, like,
so cool.
The most fun. This was, like, one of the things where I knew that I was going to cover, like, a range of things, but at one point I was like, what if I just went really deep into the Technicolor process? Like,
it just, like, tickled something in my heart,
yeah.
and I feel giddy.
Yay. That was so fun!
I loved that!
Yay! That makes me
like, I don't know. I feel like a little kid.
Yay!
Just like he wanted.
That's all I wanted. That's all he wanted was children to die very gory deaths.
Freaky man.
The ways that Pat was killed, I was like, oh, she's dead. Oh, she's not dead yet. Oh, she's, oh.
It was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I didn't even want to. Okay. I'm ready to talk about horror. I can't say it any other way now.
Thank you.
I love it. Goose just like beautifully leapt in the background.
And she you has go, airplane girl. Ears right
you
now.
Go, girl.
She's hunting.
She's so strong. So I said I forgot how good the sound is, because the sound is incredible. One, it's Goblin. Love it.
I fucking love Goblin.
But the
here.
Sound effects themselves, too. Like, yeah. they knew exactly when to be quiet. And it was like, every time you were looking at the building, it was like this intense, like, fucking mix of screaming and witch and yeah. sounds. And I felt... I'll get to it. I just yeah. felt overwhelmed, but in a way that I was like, I know what you're doing. Like, it was
yeah.
a lot. The whispers during the music are so good. It's like it's drawing her in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I said that sweet 70s fashion.
Mm.
The little like tutu thing. Oh, with the little
Can we talk
robe.
About the vest tutu?
The vest tutu?
I did not understand. I was like, are you going to dance in that? Like, is that like your little overcoat
I know.
In
I was
the hallways?
Like, And she put it on and like no one else really had it. I was like, are you trying to keep warm? What's your deal? I didn't care. I loved it. I was like,
yeah, I didn't understand.
You go, girl.
It was cute. Didn't
yeah,
get it.
So cute. No purpose whatsoever, but you know, okay. I said the colors, the deep reds guiding her to evil. I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
When she says, hey, give me a hand. And the man just goes, mm-hmm, no. and he just sits in the cab and does nothing. It gave me a good laugh.
Yeah.
I wrote in my notes just nah with the little smiley face. He's like, no.
And he's like, come on, come on, come on. And I'm just like, oh, he hates her.
I know. She's like, give me a hand. And he's like, I won't. I simply won't. I said those deep blues and reds like mixing together with these pops of green. I said it was like she's diving into like another dimension when she's getting to the school.
There was like this play of lights across her face that was just so colorful.
And it was like she was in the car, I think. Yeah. And it was like she's going through this maybe a city. I don't know. But we don't know. But it's just so spooky. It was like she was, I don't know, transported. And then they get to this bright red building. And you're like, ah, yes. Uh-huh. The heart of evil.
Yeah.
And then I said, fucking hell, the set is gorgeous. And I said, I need to do more art for this. I used to do, like, Suspiria fan art. I just really like Suspiria. And
I was like, I need to see your art.
I'll have to show you. But I was like, man, I love this. So I was like, I should do more.
Yeah.
So maybe I will. If you want some Suspiria art, I'll do it. And I said, and this is when she's, like, walking, I think. But I said, the music stops and starts so fast, like, always.
Yeah.
There's very rarely a moment where, like, fades in and out. I said, it's really cool. The walls are painted with these wild, ornate designs on them. Like, it is so busy. But it works because the characters are wearing bright white or bright, like, muted colors. Or even if they're wearing, like, a bright color, it's plain.
Yeah.
So, like, instead of doing this opposite thing where you're making your character, like, stand out in a plain environment, you're trying to make them look plain against this insane, wild... I used like my Olga's favorite... Yes.
Yeah.
I use my favorite word, juxtaposition. But like they're so plain. Like it's all black or it's all white or just one color. There's very rarely any design on them whatsoever. But then the fucking walls are like, it's every room. I mean, even like Olga's apartment, I think, was Olga's like fuck wild.
Had like black and white, like Paisley on LSD, like situation happening. And then Pat's friend, the pink Escher, like
it was just bananas. Wild. Every room had something. Like, it was just gorgeous, but, like, it was very purposeful. You could tell that they were like, we got to be able to see them. And if they're wearing anything other than this, they're going to blend in.
Yeah.
So, well thought out. It was great. The music felt the same, though. I said it's so intense and it's hard to pinpoint, like, any kind of genre or noise. Or is it music? Is it just sound? But it disorients us and it makes us feel, like, overwhelmed. And then it'll just stop. And you're like, oh. Like, and it's I'm not saying it makes me have to like pay attention in that moment, but I'm like gathering my thoughts and it doesn't give me a moment to breathe.
It's jarring and you're trying to like recoup, and then something else happens and you're like, okay, what's happening now?
And it's like, but that's the point, because like you said, I mean, it's more style than it is plot, sort of. Like, it's so heavy on the watch this, look at it. But I it's good. They got me. Also the stabs in the middle, the beginning where it's coming from the side with no like, mm-hmm. you know, you could just see an arm, freaked me out.
Yeah.
And it was so, I hate to say it, but I was like, it cut through like butter. It was like, ha. I'm not saying I'm a freak, and I'm not saying, listen, before I finish the sentence, it looked satisfying to stab.
To murder someone brutally.
No, no.
And then dangle them through a window.
No, no, this particular fake body that was being stabbed. Your window's open and they're out there like, so that girl's gonna murder me. I meant the effect they use, the knife goes in so smooth that I was like, oh my god, it would be like stabbing Jell-O, which sounds so fun. You didn't like it. I'm a fan.
I'm just picturing all the variations of Jell-O that I have like interfaced with in my life.
I fucking love Jell-O. I was so sick yesterday and in my blanket it was all wrapped up and I went, Jell-O.
Oh.
We didn't have any.
Sad.
Yeah, very. So never mind. I take it back. It wasn't satisfying.
It was very satisfying. It was. It's okay to say it.
It was.
Like a warm butter knife through butter.
It was, except it was her body.
Except it was her heart that they did a close-up on to watch the knife pierce.
And that part looks satisfying too. Okay, whatever. And then I wrote off this scene. I don't know what that means.
Huh.
But I think I wrote intense as hell. The blood... The wet behind her?
Huh.
The wet. The white.
The white. It was probably oof this scene.
Oof, oof. That's what I meant. Yeah. I said, oof this scene. Yeah. So then she's like bleeding and they're both bleeding because the glass has fallen.
And she was like bisected by a pane of glass.
Yes. Yeah. And I said the blood against her like white outfit, her really pale skin. It said it makes her look as ornate as the walls. So she's become part of like this place, and then it goes to the girl that's got the glass, and she's the same way, where it's like this pristine little outfit that they had is now covered in all these colors and these pieces of glass.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I wanted to know how they composed their blood mixture, because it was quite opaque. It was kind of milky.
Yeah, like I feel thick. Like that's got to be like a 70s thing, because I feel like I always see blood in like 70s movies looking a little too thin. Like, it's not very thick.
See, this one, it just felt like it was like slightly too pink.
Yeah.
And it looked thicker in terms of like trans, like it wasn't translucent the way you would expect it to be. Like, it had an opacity to it. So I was like, this doesn't feel right.
It just wasn't right.
It wasn't right.
I don't know what it was, but it was very odd.
It was odd. It was jarring.
It was jarring. And then immediately after this horrible note of them being murdered, I go, oh my God, Olga's so pretty.
She is, yeah.
I said, I love her dress. I was obsessed with her dress. The fashion in this was great. It was weird.
Yeah.
But like, I loved it.
Yeah.
I said, these girls are weird. But now I get it.
It makes more sense.
Because at first I was like, these girls are fucking weird. When they're like, snake, and like sticking their tongues out. Yeah. And I'm like, y'all are like 20 something. It makes sense now.
And then I was like, they're really weird about money. And it's like, oh, you can borrow mine. You can buy them from me. And she's like, no, I don't think I need to buy them. She's like, oh.
Yeah, when she's like, okay, well, I guess you can use them. And I'm like, they're like children. And then I was like,
they're like children.
Literally children. I said, these girls are so weird. And then I said, snakes. And I said, Olga, chill out, you freak. But I get it. I said, I can't wait to see some creepy dancing. Not as much creepy dancing I was really, as you think.
I wanted so much more dancing
Have
than
you
I
seen
got.
The remake yet?
Not yet. And so that's why I'm so
You're
excited.
Gonna see a lot of dancing.
Yes. I wanted dancing.
You're gonna love that one
I'm
then.
I'm excited.
Obsessed with the little vest tutu.
The vest tutu.
I didn't get it, but I loved the
didn't
voodoo.
The voodoo.
I loved it. It was just weird. At first I saw her from like the waist up and I went, oh, cute little shirt. And then I went, cape? Like all the way down to her like ankle.
I called it a tutu situation because I didn't know what was happening.
Oh my God.
But voodoo.
What are you clicking?
I'm typing for voodoo? Later.
Voodoo. And then this is when we get introduced to the nephew, and I said, that boy's face is haunting. Like, I'm doing an impression. You guys can't see it, but he's just hauntingly staring.
One of my notes has got to say, I'm more scared of that blonde child than almost anything else.
Literally anything in that whole school. Just the eyes. And I can you guys hear the eyes that we're doing?
Because
like
hear
I
the
it
eyes.
Feels so intense and I'm like, you probably could. Do you okay?
Yeah.
We did it. I said, oh, Susie. I said, you might be a witch, my girl, but I understand now it was just witches, like when she's walking down the hallway and she's all sick and gross.
Yeah.
I thought it was like when they were talking about her aunt and they knew her aunt, I was like, oh, maybe it's like her aunt was one of the witches. And then now she's going to like, you know, I was wrong. But I just, the way that they were like, witch.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, she's the witch.
She's a witch.
And they're going to be like, come join us. And she's going to be like, no.
Yeah.
No, I was wrong. I've seen this and I was still wrong. it was a long time. And then I said, sickly dancing. We love to see it. Mm-hmm. Just, oh, I can't. Oh, my God. And I was like, lay down. God, take a seat. The room was gorgeous. The yellow room. Amazing. The movie had nice subtle makeup, I feel like, for everybody for the most part. Like nothing felt too wild or overdone. Even the parts where we do get to see like the witch and like the special effects kind of makeup.
Yeah.
It was like done in like extreme close ups.
Yeah.
So you never really got to see like a full thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's for the better, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because
then it doesn't kind of take that, like we said, when you see the monster, it makes it less effective. I loved that we only saw a silhouette and heard the breathing.
Yeah.
So, like, we had to think what it looked like instead.
I thought it was really effective when we see the shadow of her against, like, the red-lit cloth.
That was so
good.
And
it's, like, gauzy and skeletal. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, ooh.
And it's spooky because, like, everyone is there. So it's kind of like they just put her in this room with all these it was just wild.
Sorry, directress, your room is full of maggots.
Yeah,
right,
right? They were like, come on out. Like,
so you'll have to wheeze here instead.
Can I? Do you guys mind if I wheeze here? Can I wheeze?
Mind if I wheeze?
I'm gonna wheeze real quick. It was just so funny and scary, but like, I know, I love that sheet. It was so good. The movie also, I said, nice little makeup. They did a good job. Like, when she looked, when she was dancing and she was sick,
yeah,
she genuinely looked flushed, but like sickly flushed. Like I was like, oh, okay.
You're glowing in a bad way.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, you're glowing. And she goes, thank you. And I go, not a compliment.
It's the nausea sweats.
Oh, God. And then, like, when she's in the hospital, it has that green lighting. Like, she's, like, really sick. But then all of a sudden, the red lighting changes to, or it changes to red when they're like, oh, she's actually okay. And she can drink this wine and she'll be fine. And it's like, it switched so quick. And I was like, just like the lighting did, to be like, it's because of witches. Duh.
Duh.
And I said, ooh, girl, you got maggot hair.
Yeah.
Maggot school. That's what I wrote.
Oh, the maggots. Upsetting to me, especially the squelching.
Yeah, a lot of squelching. And then they had a little maggot sleepover. Yeah.
We should have a sleepover sans maggots.
Yes, no, I would love that. We are going to have a sleepover soon. Hopefully sans maggots. We don't know for sure.
We're not sure.
But that place is pretty fancy.
Yeah.
So if we do find a maggot...
I might be wearing a top hat and a monocle.
He's like, hello.
Good day.
No cell phones in the lobby. And we're like, oh, so sorry, sir.
All those flip-flops I see.
Not on the dress code. I don't, every time I talk, he tips his hat. I don't know why. I'm like, okay, he's being mean, but he is tipping. He has got no arms. I don't know how.
No.
I did forget. I was like, oh, right, it's the 70s. You can smoke anywhere.
Yeah.
She was just like chilling, smoking with all these sheets and these girls around. And I'm like,
girl, you're all
cool with it? Yeah, I guess so.
I always forget.
The scary moans were so loud and unsettling when they're all asleep.
Yeah.
In that, and I'm like, but no one's reacting. So this whole time, this movie gives you that, like, is it happening? Is it not happening? I really don't know.
Yeah.
I said Sarah's a goner.
Yeah.
The one woman, I said she was like an even worse Miss Trunchbull.
Huh? Yeah.
She was
giving Trunchbull vibes. Yeah.
I'm trying to find, like, my good notes. I was mad about the dog.
Because
I said, no, he's a good dog, not a bad dog.
I was mad about the dog. I was mad about the bat.
Yes. Yes, the bat.
So unfair.
I want to say he was obsessed with the pool, and you know it didn't happen? Like a death in the pool.
A death in the pool. But they did use the pool. But
they
did
use the pool.
Yeah.
They were like, listen, fine. Yeah. We're going to use it.
Yeah.
I did say perfect place for a murder, and then it didn't happen.
And then it didn't happen. I was very surprised because they go to the middle of the pool to share secrets.
I was,
and
it was so like, sure.
Sarah's going to kick it.
Nope.
No.
But then I did write, Sarah's not long for this world.
Yes.
They had that like really intense green light on her. Again, like she's figuring stuff out. Like we got to get her, you know? Green and red seem to be the two like, we're good. Don't mess with it. Like
I read something that I have not like watched the movie again to like validate.
Uh-huh.
But it was that when the lights are off and the characters can't see what's happening, it's green. But when the red light is on, they can see what's happening.
Which kind of made sense.
I don't know if that's entirely like cohesive or not. But.
Because like when it, you know, things are green when they're trying to figure stuff out, and I noticed that like red happens a lot when like kind of shady things happen.
Yeah.
So like when they're like, just have some wine, you're okay. I was like, it's a little off and a little weird. And all of a sudden it was red again. So I could see that being like a thing.
It was just in one of the articles I read. And I was like, that's cool. And I kept reading other things.
Right.
So I was like, I never rewatched those parts.
Do.
I don't know.
There's a moment where someone says, looking for Sarah? She's disappeared. And the biggest smile on her face. She's like, looking for Sarah? Yeah. She's gone. And I was like, okay, freak. And then it was so funny seeing a modern location after being at the school for so long.
Yeah.
When she goes to talk to the doctor.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. Like, you're in a city.
Yeah.
You're not just in this weird fucking school.
Yeah.
So that got me. Love the red eyes.
The doorknobs are at the normal height.
Your doorknobs are normal. Like, you can reach. Love that she just has to fully explain the counting the footsteps logic to us. She was like, I can count the footsteps. And I'm like, yeah, girl, we followed you.
Uh-huh.
We didn't need. That's fine, though.
I get it.
Love a secret door. The green hallway is incredible. When she first opens the door and there's light and there's all those colors around her, that's what I used to do my first fan art of. It's so good.
I need to see it.
I don't want to find it. And the music stopping as soon as she gets in that room was so good. It's like, you found it. And I'm like, no, 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 no. She found the old witch. You can do it, Susie. Kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, thanks, Sarah. Sarah, you don't have to be a freak like that.
No.
I also said, hell yeah, Susie, you're the leader now. But then she just left.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, never mind.
NVM.
I was like, whoopsies. And I thought the effects in the movie were really good. Like, they're subtle. You know, they're not too wild. It's a lot of wind. It's not, like, too overdone. Like, the lightning effect when she's...
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, all right, cheesy. But, like, fits the vibe of this whole film.
nothing felt out of place. Nothing was like jarring because it fit entirely within the expectations you had for the movie.
There was never too much of one thing or like it was all too much of everything in the right way.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
It's like when we see the like outline of the Invisible Witch and the lightning storm, I was like, yeah, that fits with this film.
Like absolutely, of course. Yeah.
Not taken out because it's very much in universe. Yeah. This is right.
And, it like usually I would be like, it didn't feel lived in like at all in this building, right?
Yeah.
But I don't. But that with any other movie, I'd be like mad. But with this one, I'm like, yeah, no one would fucking live there. Like no. This place is not a real place.
No.
That's the whole point. Is he wanted to create this like hellish nightmare,
inhospitable boarding school?
Yeah. Like it's supposed to look like another universe that's unsettling and terrifying, even when it's just a school. So I was like, well, yeah, it's not gonna look lived in. Yeah. Look at it.
And you can't, like, decorate your dorm room when there's that much turnover in the population.
What are you gonna do? So I liked it. Like, I wasn't mad about that at all. It didn't, I don't know, upset me. It was good.
So, I'm looking at my notes. I had a lot fewer than usual.
I had to skip a lot because I was like, whoa.
Yeah. My very first note was, dang, this music slaps.
Oh, it slaps.
And I was like, you already kind of know what you're going to get from the frantic escalation and the sickly sweet music box number. Like, you got, like, very quickly, you understand what you're going to get from this film. Just kind of, like, the vibe. You don't know all the lights and all the like weirdness and all the death you're gonna get, but you understand like this is gonna be weird as shit and it's gonna be dark and it's gonna be like cloyingly sweet at point. Anyway,
it starts strong.
Yeah, it does.
You know,
and like we introduce her like she's very cute, innocent, wearing white and like light colors, and like meanwhile a woman ahead in red.
Right.
So then like the fury of nature and the storm and like the unstoppable force of things, whatever, play of lights on her. She sits in the back of the taxi of the man who hates her.
Hates her.
Her eyebrows came back into fashion.
They did.
Yeah, it was like, okay, you could even fill them in a little bit more to fit like the current brow ideal. But I look at eyebrows a lot in movies.
We love a wild brow.
Yeah, I love it. I think because when I was younger, my mom was like, you have Brooke Shields eyebrows. Oh, and it's like, I always had like full eyebrows.
Very nice eyebrows.
Thank you.
And I'm always like, oh, I wish I had those. I have the eyebrows of the Irish, which is none. They're just very, very thin. So
I like your eyebrows.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate
they
that.
For you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's see. This is when Pat has escaped.
Yeah.
She makes it to a very decorated building and my shoe squeaked really loud.
I was like, can you hear that?
And then the form of ambulation that she had, to me, was a shuffle prance. And that's just how she goes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then it's a... Dang, the music in this is balls to the walls. Like, it doesn't leave anything on the table. No crumbs. Is that what the kids say? Because I don't know how to properly use that phrase.
I think you nailed it. Okay.
So then I just had notes. Color and vibrancy. Jarring music. It didn't have anything else. I was just, like, noting them as
it's there.
I saw.
I see it.
It happens.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, okay, she's yelling for help. She's stabbed and dramatically dies. Oh, wait, she's still alive.
I know.
And then I have more things where I think she's dead. And then what did they use for blood? It's super opaque.
Oh my god.
That outfit made no sense to me.
Are we talking about the voodoo? Yeah,
the voodoo. I don't remember who Vertigast is, but I thought I was really funny when I wrote, she is aghast at Vertigast. I was like, I don't remember who Vertigast is.
Oh, is that the woman? Bad Miss Trunchbull?
I don't
know. Even worse, Miss Trunchbull?
Sure.
Vertigast. I'm pretty sure.
I'm like, it's someone.
I'm guessing, but I think so.
Okay. I thought it was water, but it's maggots. The directress is the one snoring behind the curtain. This movie is just a long-form PSA about sleep apnea. me being scared of the blonde child.
So fucking scary.
Watching this movie feels like a rite of passage.
We did it.
And then I was convinced. We see, I think his name is Daniel. He's the piano player.
Yeah.
He's in this like beer hall and there are like German men dancing in Lederhosen. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. So like when he leaves, the thing is going to be like there's so much noise outside that he screams. They don't hear because they're like chanting and jumping on tables. No.
Worse than that.
It was just like setting the scene for, you know, how he was spending his time he's after
out.
Being fired.
He's out having a time.
Yeah. And then, you know, we have the murder thing.
Yeah.
Lights, jump scare that got me. We'll save it. So when Sarah is being chased,
yep,
in the attic, And we see someone, like, just hands grab yeah. tools. Like, we see, like, what's going to be a razor that's going to cut her fucking throat. Mm-hmm. But she escapes through a door and she shuts it. Mm-hmm. And then we see someone put what looks kind of like an icing knife slide through the crack in the door and start lifting the bolt. This is the easiest yeah. fucking lock to pick because all it is a bolt that mm-hmm. you lift up.
Right.
It doesn't have to like lift and then slide over and mm-hmm. then slide back down. It is literally just like one Whoop. Of those drop down into place. All they have to do is stick it, lift it, push.
That's it.
But they tippy tap it for a while. And I'm just like,
that is an insult. They were just being mean.
They were just like, do something. Come on, I'm giving time. Do something. Come on. So she cowered for a while. Right. I was like, they're giving you time to do something.
They're tippy tapping.
They're tippy tapping. And then she stacks crates in a bad way. And yeah. the like lowest ones couldn't support the weight of the highest ones. Like, she's just not great at structure building. She wasn't doing a good job. No. Not an architect, and that's fine.
That's okay.
Maybe she's a really good dancer.
Probably.
Maybe
she was. We never got to see her really dance. So.
But I was just like, I was taken out of it momentarily by how long and how poorly. And so now maybe I'm like, well, maybe it was just a disembodied hand doing the best it can. Not really understanding. It's just right. like, I do the lock.
There's nothing attached to it. It was just no, like, oh. It's like,
Anyway. And then when Susie, okay, this movie to me, sorry, this is going to be a harsh criticism.
Oh.
It has a major sin in that several of the main characters have names that start with the same letter, Susie and Sarah. And it makes it very difficult for me. And you should never have protagonists with the same name, and you should spread them out across the alphabet. There was room outside of the S's. Susie and Sarah, too close.
You have to call them snakes.
I was like,
even though I have the name of a snake.
Yeah. Anyway, so if I get it wrong, it's because names of snakes are difficult. But Susie is talking to the folks, like the doctor, what's yeah. his face, and then the other doctor, what's his face.
The doctor, what's her face.
Yeah. And he's talking about, like, witches, and he's like, the goal is to accumulate great personal wealth, but they can only do it by harming people. And I was like, oh, yeah. a scathing indictment of capitalism, cough, billionaires, cough. No, this is about witches.
But it could be.
It could be, though. And then my other note is camera angles. Nothing about what they Gorgeous. Are. Gorgeous. Camera angles.
They're there, and I love it.
The angles... They're happening.
Oh, they're there.
She puts food down the toilet, and I was like, flushing that is not ideal for plumbing. No. Like, you could have disposed of it another way. I was distracted because throw I was like, that's going to come right back up.
Just throw it out the window.
And then she pours wine down the sink and does a monstrously bad job. Oh my job God,
it was so pink. And I was like,
it's like, you're just girl. Spreading the stain. You have to do it quick. And then when she finds the note about like the steps.
Yes.
And she was like, aha, yes, I was there too. Like, yeah, girl, you were there. And she's wearing heels
I know.
To sneak through. And then she knows, going in, the irises into yep. this room. And I was like, girl, those are the only pops of color in that area. They're so fucking bright.
And she had to remember it again. Took
a while, and then there's a zoom the in irises. For the... irises. Then, like, they do this big zoom for the folks that don't know flowers. And that's valid. That's I get fine. It. You might not that's know an fine. Iris, and that's okay. And then I was like, what was your exit plan? Like, you just kind of walked in. You're like, oh, this is bad. And yeah. I was like, what was your plan to leave? Was your plan just to follow and then, like, wing it? But anyway, that was my last relevant note.
I would have done the exact same thing. I would have wandered in with nothing and been like, I gotta know.
Yeah.
The and power
I,
to know.
I thought she was gonna die. Like, yeah. I didn't think she was gonna live. I thought that she finds out, then she gets, right. you know, murdered.
Kicks it. Nope. Nope. She just runs away. She's like, I did it. Woo! Woo! Good for her. It's just, I love it. She's like... Yeah, and yeah. credits roll. Elmarie was like, she's dead. She's goner. This is it. And then the credits went. She went, oh, she's alive. Yeah, all
I
right,
was,
great.
I was also surprised.
It's a surprising thing.
Yeah.
God, does that mean, is it already time for Scariest Moment?
Yeah.
I know mine.
I know mine.
Okay. Do you want to go?
Sure.
Okay.
It's about go ahead. The hour mark. This is the one that I had to like pull up again today to be like, yeah. what was I talking about? Because I was just like, ah!
The hell?
And it's when Sarah's running away in the night after Susie is like conked out during that important discussion right. about like counting footsteps, her friend like left her the note, whatever. So Sarah's up in the attic and just walked away from the room where we heard the director snoring and mm-hmm. something swings down to hit her and she screams and flails backward into two separate panes of glass and then runs away. The moment that I was very frightened was when something swings down to hit her.
That's a good one. Mine is also with Sarah. It's Sarah falling in that nasty razor
wire. Oh.
I hated it. As soon as like she started to like fall, I went, what is that? And then I went, oh no. And I realized, and it grossed me out so bad. And her just going, and like flailing.
Yeah. I had a lot of notes about that part.
It just grossed me out. Yeah. Which like, and again, like now knowing that he was like, they're supposed to be children. I'm like, fucked up, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's creeped me out. I don't know.
Grim
it
shit.
Was just such a grim way to go, you know?
And it's not even like, it would be grisly as fuck if she just like bled out from like a million tiny wounds.
Right.
But she's in the pit of razor wire and then someone slits her throat.
Yes. And I'm like dear God.
Lord.
Yeah. So yeah, that was mine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sarah had a rough go.
You having your doctor prescribed red wine?
Yep. I'm just going to like pass out while you talk about footsteps.
I'm going to be like, Kate, please wake up. And you're like,
the witches. What do you know about witches?
I have to scream at night.
The green lights are on. I have to go. Are you ready for tropes?
I'm ready.
Okay, so aborted arc is like we get several like little hints of like a narrative and then it's just like don't worry about it. And so it's like that guy that she thinks is cute and he thinks she's cute.
Don't worry about it.
And then you find out maybe he's actually like serving the witches and that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't have enough meat to it.
None of our business.
Yeah, none of our business. Yeah. I'm just being nosy is my problem.
It's not your business.
Yeah. Animals hate him. So the little nephew.
Oh my God.
Because the dog bites the kid. Because the kid is unholy.
Evil.
Yeah.
I would rather hang out with Damien from The Omen than hang out with that nasty kid.
Dude, I would watch a horror film about just this kid.
I'd hang out with Tank Top Boy before I would hang out with that.
I would too.
I take it back, actually. I just like thought about Tank Top Boy and immediately was like, ugh.
See, Damien feels like he's more like vocal about like serving Satan and everything, but like Blonde Boy, you don't know what's going on in there.
He had secrets that I didn't like.
And then Tank Top Boy, he's multifaceted.
I don't know, there's something about Tank Top Boy I don't like.
I also don't like. I think I would prefer Damien, Blonde Boy, Tank Top Boy.
Yeah, that's my scary children. same. Ugh. I know, yuck.
Boarding school of horrors.
Yeah,
doesn't need an explanation.
Doesn't need it.
Bookends. So we have Sarah coming in and the rain and, Susie.
She's mad.
I'm so mad. Susie entering, rain. Sarah exiting, rain, screaming. And then we have Susie exiting, rain.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
There it is.
I got it.
Not screaming. Successful.
Successful. But there is screaming behind her.
Yeah, for sure. And fire. You know, everyone's dying. Yeah. No, for sure.
Color wash, so much color. Lots of green, lots of red, but also a fair amount of blue.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few scenes where it's like with Sarah running away while Susie is just like passed the fuck out. And it's like Sarah's last jaunt.
Yeah.
And it's like back and forth between green and red and green and red. And then she gets to the attic and it's like this very pale, washed out blue.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh.
Just a little tiny hints of like a little bit of purple when they mix together too. It was great.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Creepy ballet.
Mm-hmm.
It just lends itself to that. I don't know if
creepy ballet, but
we could do Black Swan.
Well, we should.
Yeah.
God, we should.
I watched that one with my mother and my English teacher.
Oh.
And perhaps that was a bad choice.
Fun. A good time.
I didn't choose it. I was just in the next room. Worse,
though, because then you're there and you're like, oh, okay.
It's like
it's
they were
happening.
English teacher, incredible human, her husband, amazing. Mm-hmm. And so like they're super type of parents. And so they would like come over and watch movies and stuff. Right. And like my English teacher really into like symbolism and like exploring and understanding and like really digging into things. And so it's a really good movie for that.
It is.
She didn't know though.
Yeah.
No one knew.
Who knew?
And
who
so
was to know?
I'm sitting in the other room, like connected while they're watching. And I just hear my mom going like, Phil, maybe fast forward.
Dad, Phil, maybe fast forward.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh no. So I'd like to watch it again.
We absolutely should.
Yeah. Did I hear say creepy child? Creepy child.
Creepy child.
Yeah. Cruel and unusual death. Pat and Sarah primarily.
Awful.
Dangerously garish environment. My slippers cracked again. evil detecting dog is played straight and then played with.
Yeah.
There's so much squeaking happening.
I know. There's a lot of squeaking, and that's okay.
Someone's squeaking.
We're squeaking.
Sunday squeaking.
Just me. Sunday squeaking.
Oh, me. I'm Sunday squeaking. Just at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, me.
Oh, me. I'm just Sunday squeaking.
evil detecting dog.
Yeah.
So at first, it's like, there's something wrong with this youth.
I don't like this child.
Yeah. And that's right. That's your whole vibe. Totally valid. And then the dog is like, there's something in this village square that is wrong.
I don't like this.
Yeah. And that's also played straight. Mm-hmm. And then it's played wild because the dog becomes the evil and does rip the throat out of his owner.
I know.
That was a sad.
That was. It was rough.
But we'll move on to exact eavesdropping, where it's, they happen to listen into the part that is directly about them and very clear, where it's, we have to kill the American girl.
And she's like, oh my God, me?
Me? Am I the American? Fairy tale motifs.
Mm-hmm.
Final girl. She has a lot of the hallmarks of a final girl.
Yeah.
This was before it was like really cemented. But we talked about like how there were a range of like kind of like precursors to the slasher genre that like folks don't tend to consider as part of the slasher canon. He knows too much. So that was Daniel and Sarah and Susie. Human pincushion.
Oh,
leitmotif.
Woo.
Yeah, so that's the music.
Yeah.
The theme, naive newcomer. Sorry, I don't remember what this
one.
I remember what the thing is, but I okay. Sean Connery is about to shoot you. So it's because on the Bond posters, he'd usually be pointing a gun like at the audience. And so it's like this fourth wall, like he's about to shoot me.
Oh my God. And
it's because in a lot of the promotional images, it has Susie squaring off with a knife, like looking at you.
Sean Connery is about to shoot you.
This might be awkward, but Sean Connery is about to shoot you.
I don't want to alarm you.
I don't want to be weird, but...
Oh my God.
A shout out. The school is apparently on Escherstrasse. Escherstrasse? I don't know German.
Sure.
But that's kind of like fun because Escher and like the like staircases and like, you get it. Understand. You art understand.
Yeah, I art understand.
Yeah, that's what you tell your students.
Yeah, every time I go, hey guys, do you guys art understand? And they say,
Everyone, they're like, yeah, art, we art understand. There is no kill like overkill. Mm-hmm. Pat.
Yeah.
Goddamn. White shirt of death. So like a character wearing white.
It's going to get nasty. All the
better to be covered in blood. And then finally, Wicked Witch.
Yeah, fair. That's so true. I'm hoping she's like, you wouldn't kill me. And then she's like, oops, you did. Got him.
Oh, oh, those jokes.
Those are really beautiful.
Thank you.
Now we have to rate the movie.
What'd you rate them?
What'd you got?
Voodoo. What else did I write down?
Voodoos.
There's nothing else. It's only voodoos.
How many voodoos?
Okay, I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
One. Yeah, it was just like
perfect 10 voodoos.
A foregone conclusion on the number of voodoos.
I want one.
Yeah.
Oh my god, we
could make them.
We could make them. I think it'd be great.
I think it'd be amazing.
Oh my god. I gave it 5 voodoos.
Yeah.
Because it was just so fun. The movie's wild.
Oh my God.
I don't know, and it's still like special now because I'm like, we weren't ready, but we're ready. Like, and it's just so pretty.
Yeah,
and knowing how they did the, I got to learn something new.
Ugh.
Not that they did that process, but still, like, you know,
yeah,
because they didn't, right?
I think
they did like a version with like, 2 instead of
where it was like a single film that was like double side or a single reel that was 2 sides. So they did dye transfer process, but it wasn't 3 strip.
Okay,
I don't think.
Still cool as hell.
Amazing.
I liked it so much.
Yeah.
It's just a fun one.
Yeah.
Plot, whatever. It's a little funky, but like, it's just so interesting that I'm like, it's great.
And there are movies where it's like, it's not about the plot.
No. Listen, if you're a movie that's good enough to be like, it's not about the plot.
Yeah.
That's pretty
good. And everyone is like, you're right, it's not.
Yeah, right? Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Success.
So yeah, that's mine. Yeah. That's great.
I also gave it a perfect 5 voodoos, even though Sarah and Susie are too similar to
You're mad about that, I know.
I'm mad about it, but despite that, 5. Because, like, while I was watching it, I was like, what if I'm still not ready? And I was, like, so afraid that I wasn't worthy.
So worthy. So ready. We were probably ready back then.
No, I wasn't.
Personally, I don't think I was ready either. I was like, we can't.
I wouldn't have had a lot of the language to consider it.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that, like, you need an education of any sort to enjoy things.
No.
But, like, I wouldn't have known where to start. I would have been overwhelmed and just kind of, like, flailing. And I feel like I have a deeper appreciation from, like, watching like a lot of other things.
We've seen so many things now that I appreciate movies so much now. It's great.
Yeah. And so I think... I was rewatching certain scenes to be like, I need to refresh my memory. I don't understand what I was scared by. What was it? Or like, I want to make sure I get the dialogue from like the narration.
Right.
Correct. And like rewatching, I was like, oh, the music. Oh. And I knew it was going to happen. Like I wasn't, I really enjoyed this film visually, aesthetically. Like, and then the more that I learned about it, the more fascinating it became.
Yeah,
because
seriously.
There's so much to dig into historically.
You taught me so much about it that I was giddy. I was like, so fun.
I was like, I hope she likes this.
So fun. So, I felt like my brain was getting like a little massage. I was like, oh, good time.
So that's why it gets a perfect 10 vutus from us.
Perfect 10 vutus.
So that wraps up our discussion of the original Suspiria.
The original Suspiria.
Yeah. So if you enjoyed your time with us, we would really appreciate it if you'd rate and review on Apple Podcasts. That helps other people find us. We also just really like hearing what you have
I
to
do.
Say.
I really do.
Yeah. You can follow us on Instagram at Just Go With It. And every week we'll post the movie for the week. No context quotes, that sort of thing.
Oh, no. Sorry, guys.
I haven't done the content warnings yet.
Yeah.
So.
We got it. Yeah.
So I stopped saying when we post it. Every week. We'll post it. Yeah. Every week we release, we'll post it.
Yeah.
And then you can check out our extended show notes on our website. That's about halfway caught up right now. But that's where I'll put all of, like, as I write my notes, I write my sources in a APA-ish formatting.
Mostly a format.
I have some preferences for formatting that I just overwrite. So it's APA as a base and then KPA is like...
Incredible.
I have my own citation. But anyway, my extended show notes will have all of my sources listed. So anytime I say direct quote, it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could even take a look at our Patreon at patreon.com/justschoolwithit. And our patrons got to see us do really well at Alien Isolation.
God, so fucking funny.
The stairs.
I love these stairs.
I love these stairs.
I went up some stairs so many times. Yeah. And I just kept doing it. And someone finally went, I love these stairs. Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
I was like, shut up.
We'd like to take this opportunity to thank those fabulous
please.
Patrons.
We love them.
Kim, Kelly, Nihar, Rachel, Kelsey, Sula, Tim, Beth, Katie, Morgan, Brady, Kenny, Janice, Brian, Jess, Ada, Dalton, Andrew, and Olivia.
That was good. I did a different dance.
I was doing a little
head whip.
I will focus on each name individually and not think ahead because that's where I get fucked up.
That's where I get fucked up. Yeah. Like a conspiracy theory. Yeah. That's where it gets me. Yeah.
Red string. The intro and outro music was created by Anthony Roccozella. The cover art is by our very own Nikki Solomon, who apparently has Suspiria fan art.
I do. I'm sorry. I was just going to whisper, witch.
I saw you start to whisper and I just had things to say.
I know. I'm sorry. I got to find it. And if not, I'll make you some.
Okay.
You deserve it.
And if you don't, witch.
No! I'll scream like the radiator. Just me, Sunday's squeaking.